It is time to ask David. David Hochberg joins us in studio. You can go to his website, 56david.com. And if you have any questions about buying a house, getting a loan, it's a great time for everything.
Rates are down. You know, the world is ending, as I see every time I see Scott's caricatures and the Trib, cartoons. I see the world is ending, and interest rates have come down to levels we haven't seen in over 12 months. Rates are in the high threes again, mm-hmm. low fours. Wow. So you might as well, as everything is falling apart, take advantage of these lower rates. we have dysfunction, as everybody knows, in Washington on both sides of the aisle. People can't get along, and it's impacting the interest rates. The bond market has been sliding downward, which is a good news for interest rates, and interest rates are at 12 months lows. So we're refinancing a ton of people.
And this isn't true just of houses for personal property. I saw a business for sale in my neighborhood. The building is they're selling it for $200,000, and I was telling somebody that, and they were like, "But in your mind, you go, well, what would I do with that?"
Well, the challenge is, it's great that you can buy a building for $200,000, but you're going to have $15,000 to $20,000 in real estate taxes, and that's what's driving people out. And the people down Springfield, I'm not slamming the people in Springfield or our fine county elected officials that, you know, continue to raise taxes on us, because it's easy to raise taxes instead of like, okay, listen, you want to come to me and raise my taxes? That's cool. Tell me something where you're consolidating government or cutting government to make it more affordable for a homeowner or anybody that resides in Cook County to live in Cook County or in the state of Illinois. Because everybody's like, oh, you know, homeowners are rich and homeowners are this, and if you own a home, you're rich. But what people mm-hmm. don't realize is 60-some percent of the population own homes, which means 30-some percent of the population are renting homes.
Right.
And the people that are renting homes are renting the home from somebody that owns that home that they're renting.
Right.
So if you keep drilling the people that own the home that the 30-some percent are renting, then the people that are renting are going to pay more on a monthly basis. And it's simple math.
And the thing is, then the people who are renting will never be able to own either, because they're paying higher and higher rents.
And they're constantly, it's like running a marathon on a treadmill, and you can't get caught up. Yeah. And one of the greatest things that I started doing after advertising for 15 years on the radio is I started doing this year accumulation of what we've saved people. And I've changed my ad copy every single month. I just recorded the new ad today that'll start playing tomorrow. In May, we helped borrowers, listeners, take out over $953,000 of equity out of their home to pay off car loans, to pay off student loans, to pay off credit card debt, to pay off IRS tax liens, which reduced their monthly payment just in May alone, $19,000, close to $19,000 a month. And the cumulative total so far equals $888,000 that we've saved on an annualized basis. Listeners, it's going to be close to $2 million by the end of the year. Wow. This is what, I don't know why I'm having a coffee one day. I'm just like, my God, and I'm seeing these numbers that are coming in. I'm like, we need to add this up and get it out to let the listeners know so they're not afraid to call, to use the and take advantage of these low rates.
I hope people appreciate the two things he's saying here. One, it's kind of a with all due respect moment. He says, I'm not blaming the legislators, but then kind of went all in on that, which I appreciate.
Well, yeah.
the second thing
there's
is, though,
plenty
truly,
of blame
though,
to go around.
No. But really, I mean, the second thing is, though, he's saying you can take money off your existing property and still save a lot of money and pay your bills.
Right.
So, I mean, there's really no downside by at least investigating, inquiring to see what opportunities are available. Yeah.
We have a listener who's called in with a question.
Bring it. Yeah.
It's another Todd. Hey, Todd, how are you doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, to be concise there, Todd.
What do you want to ask, Todd?
I wanted to ask if you guys knew who Joseph Misfit was.
You got me.
Don't know?
No.
We're
getting set up for something. Who is Joseph Misfit?
Misfit. Okay. M-I-S-F-U-D.
You still have me stumped.
A little more information. may I call a lifeline? Or?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was supposedly the guy who started it all. The reason that, you know, supposedly Trump was colluding with Russia. So I just thought maybe you guys...
Okay. So anyway, what was we were saying about the legislators?
Did I cause that? Did I spur that out, or did I miss something?
That is the weirdest phone call we've...
Just wait. The night's still early.
Yeah, no kidding. David, you bring in all the fun.
You bring in the fog and the...
can anyone appreciate the randomness of that?
Well, hey, God bless. Todd, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. Yeah.
You know, what rate do you have? And maybe we could help you get in line to save some money.
One of the questions I know that came up when you were on with Bill and Wendy was Wendy had gotten this mailer, right? Hey, Wendy, I know that you're paying this much. Because some of this information is public when it comes
to... It's all public.
Right, it's all public.
It's all public.
So then, you know, folks can advertise and use your name and use your property value, where you live.
Can I explain that in a little more detail? So when you close a loan, it gets recorded on the county level, right? The county records it. Every county records it. What happens is there's aggregators out there. So there's information aggregators that go into the county and pull out the information that's public record. Where you live, what your loan amount is, what the interest rate is. And then they send out letters, typically saying, hey, you just refinanced with Team Hochberg, and they use my name. So the people receiving the letter think they're getting a letter from me.
Yeah.
And it's not from me. Right. So say, hey, you could refinance. You just refinanced a $300,000 loan at 4.5%. Rates are down. Why don't you give us a call? And they're calling me like, why are you sending me this email? I'm like, I didn't. They're like, well, how, you know, and then they get all fired up.
Sure.
The challenge is I used to advertise, and a lot of people used to advertise in the newspaper. The challenge with advertising interest rates in the newspaper is for print on Thursday, you have to get them rates on Monday, okay, right. in order to go on Wednesday. You've got to get them rates two or three days ahead of time in order for it to go to print. It's just the way that the newspapers work back in the day when they were, you know, still printing newspapers. So if you want it in print, digital, it's different. Well, the challenge is rates could change 3, 4, 5, 6 times by the time that we submitted that ad to the newspaper until the time it prints. Okay, the same thing with the postcards.
Right.
You could send out a postcard saying, you got to collate it. It's got to get through the mail. That could have been mailed 2, 3 weeks ago. And then Wendy, and I love Wendy, and she's like, well, I got this postcard. I said, it's crap. and she's like, well, how do you know? I'm like, because I do this for a living. Okay? I mean, that postcard was printed 3 weeks ago, and it finally made it into your mailbox. Now you've got this mailbox, you know, and it amazes me that people buy off on mailers. I'm like, have you ever heard of the company that sent the, you know, postcard? No. Have you ever spoken to anybody that at the company that sent the letter? No. Then how can you trust it? Well, I got a postcard. I'm like, what are you, do you mind? Right? Yeah. So
you should have it returned to sender. This postcard is crap.
You just have to be careful. Yes. You just have to be careful.
We have a question that just came in through the text screen. We're going to take it from the 847. When we come back on 720 WGN.
Is it Todd?
No, it's not Todd. Okay, no, I swear, sure. It seems like a legit question.
Okay, good deal.
312-981-7200. You can text or call your legit questions, or otherwise. I mean, we'll find it amusing but I have a dump button, so I wasn't sure where he was going to go with that. Thankfully, we do have another question coming in. 312-981-7200 with somebody who wants some help. It's Ask David. You can find him at 56David.com because the phone number is 855-56-DAVID. Again, go to 56David.com. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
Chase Brown. Sorry.
Well done.
By the way, that's how I am in restaurants. I'll just randomly yell out musicians' names. I'm like, Rush! You know, people look at me like I'm crazy. Can I just all of a sudden know the song? You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and it's Thrifty Thursday, and it's Ask David. You can go to 56David.com to contact David Hochberg. You can also call him at 855-56-DAVID. And the phone lines are lighting up. The text screen is lighting up.
Can I just throw something else out there?
Yes.
That we set up an email address, confidential and private email address here at WGN Radio called AskDavid@WGNRadio.com that your listeners could send in emails And what the goal of this segment is for your listeners and other show listeners to send their questions in so we could read them when I'm on your show and when I'm the other show, so the listeners can learn from a voyeuristic way from other people's challenges and other people's questions that are afraid to ask the same question. And that's what this segment is all about that I talked to Todd about, you know, trying to develop, is having a safe place to come to ask the tough questions that you think are crazy and ridiculous and are too embarrassed. But, you know, I get these questions all day long, every single day, and nothing shocks me. Well, I had a an interesting one today, but, you know, but nothing really shocks me. Okay, it might throw me for a loop, but then I get back on.
Wait. You got to tell us the one that shocked you.
Well, here.
He said safe place. Maybe he doesn't.
No. Okay. No, and I'll get to the tech. This is a great question. You know, an 80-year-old couple owns a condo here in Chicago. They have a home out of state, basically almost own the home free and clear. They have Social Security income, combined income, $50,000 a year. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, you could do this, that, and the other thing. Reverse mortgage up here. Everything's great. And then he goes to me halfway through the conversation, 10, 15 minutes in, as I'm bumper to bumper on the outbound Kennedy to go to get my daughter from dance class. And he's like, well, we haven't made a mortgage payment in 2 years. I'm just like, well, dead stop.
That seems like a problem.
Well, it's a challenge, but it's not like the first time I've heard this. So I'm like, okay, here's what you got to do. You got to sell the condo here in Chicago and move to the state. I don't want to get too specific, you know, in case people know this listener. And again, we're trying to help people, not embarrass people. So I said, you've got to sell this place. And he's like, well, you know, I figured I could wait it out. I'm like, you got $20,000-$30,000 worth of attorney's fees. You haven't made a mortgage payment in 2 years. What the bank's not telling you is they're charging you foreclosure fees.
That's right.
And when you sell the place, you just lost another 20-30 G's worth of equity, and they have a ton of equity. So long story short, I'm like, buddy, I'm telling you, you got to get out of that condo, move into the home that you own basically almost free and clear.
Right.
When you get down there, he's like, well, I got this thing coming up. I'm like, you know, he's like, I got to come back to Chicago. I'm like, listen, the transportation, the airfare, the transportation, the lodging are going to be cheaper than what you're not paying in a mortgage right now. So dump the condo. So after a while, and I had to say, and
I love
said,
his energy.
No, and I had to say it literally six times. I'm like, listen, I'm not getting anything out of this, right? I'm going. It was a nice day. I had my sunroof open. I got a little tan. It was great. First day, you know, it was 80 degrees. I'm talking to this people. I'm like, listen, you got to take care of yourself, and you got to function. And I know what happens is people get into a paralyzed state, and they can't function. They can't maneuver. And I'm like, sell the damn condo. Call a realtor who you're friends with and their buddies with. Sell the condo. Move into the house. And when you get down to the house that's got a ton of equity, we'll take a reverse mortgage out there.
Right.
So you can wipe out, you know, whatever mortgage you have there. They owed a couple of 10, 15, 20 grand down there. And I said, that's what you do, right? So I'm coming in on a 40,000-foot overview, right, in the Black Hawk helicopter, you know, monitoring all the troops on the field. And they're in hand-to-hand combat, and they can't see what's going on.
Right.
But I'm just like, here's what's going on. And this is what this segment's all about, to help people overcome their challenges.
Which leads us to our first caller. Jenny has a question for you. Hi, Jenny. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
Very well. Great to hear from you. What do you want to ask, David?
Great. My question is, my husband was recently diagnosed with cancer and is going to be going through pretty aggressive treatment.
Okay.
He is the breadwinner in the family. He's the one that's handled our mortgage.
Right.
So I'm kind of jumping on the ball to get ahead of the game, and I'm wondering, are there programs within the mortgage company or other, you know, other companies to look into? We know he's not going to be working for about 3 to 4 months.
Right.
Do mortgages offer deferment?
Yeah.
Someone said interest only, maybe payments to help us at least get by while no income is coming in
Sure.
for the time being.
Well, number one, I'm sorry to hear about your husband, and I hope he has a speedy recovery. But let me
I'm just
going to ask you a couple of questions here, Jenny. How much do you owe on your first mortgage?
We are at, I think, about $179,000 to pay on our home.
Is it the only mortgage you have on your house?
Yes, it is.
What's your home worth?
$232,000. is $232,000.
Okay, got it. All right. So what rate do you have now?
That I do not know.
Okay.
Because like I said, he handled all of that.
Right.
So
And that's why I asked you this question, because medical challenges are going to happen every single day. All right. And what the spouse that takes care of the finances has to have a serious conversation with the other spouse that doesn't take care of it, in case something like this. Jenny's husband has cancer, so Jenny's not left in a fog while she's got 4,000 other things going on in her mind. And you need to have this drilled down. Okay. So, what you can do is, if your house is worth $300,000-$400,000, okay, or more, you really don't have a whole ton of equity there. But the best thing to do is to try to get a line of credit for other people out there that have equity in their home for emergency reasons, is to take out a line of credit when you don't need the line of credit. I always tell people that. Well, why do I need a line of credit? Well, you need a line of credit when you don't need the line of credit. So when challenges like this come up with Jenny and her husband, they have something to as a backup. A line of credit, for people that don't know what the heck I'm talking about, is a checkbook against your house that you could tap into for emergency reasons. Your best option right now, Jenny, is to get ahead of this and contact your mortgage servicer, okay, the person you write the check to. Tell them what's going on. Be completely honest with them and say you need some help during these next 4 or 5 months. Right. And then it's not like you're lying to them. If they ask for a doctor's note, and it's as ridiculous as it sounds, you can provide a doctor's note. But you and other people have to get ahead of this before you miss the first payment. Okay. And that's what you got to do. And we could talk more about that. I know we got a hard break coming up, but it's a great call, because I work with borrowers all the time who have an enormous amount of debt. Go back to the $19,000 a month that we just saved listeners in May. That goes a ton, that helps a ton, and goes a long way in getting people in a position that, God forbid, something like this happens, a financial challenge or a medical challenge, they're in a better position to handle it. So contact your service provider of the mortgage, you know, the company that you write the checks to, and get into their help department, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny.
Speedy recovery for your husband.
Yeah. We wish you both the very best. Thank you. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, after the news, I promise we're going to get to the calls. We also have a text from the 708, the 347, the 815, and the 847. So a lot of texts coming in. More after this on 720 WGN. My favorite moment just now is the music started playing, was Ashley Byham tilting her head back going, let's see if Patty knows this one. And I should have. David Hochberg is going with Rush. Is the answer Rush?
Right?
Would that be correct?
All right, there you go.
The only
1980
one
something. Main East High School. Yep.
That is it.
There you go.
Delta 88. Two-door Delta 88.
Nice.
With the red roof, black.
Oh,
it was great.
Stylish. David Hochberg is in the studio with us.
He's drilling down here.
My mom's car. Yeah, it's really stylish. Cruising my Ray-Bans on.
He's getting
on.
That dreamy look in his eyes. Yeah,
when you start going beyond the song and naming the description of garages.
Top Gun. Really sunglasses, aviators. Yeah,
wearing Cavaricci's. What do you wear? What kind of jeans?
It was parachute Jordache. Pants, but they had to kill like two or three parachutes to make a pair of pants get around me. So I didn't really look too.
I loved parachute pants.
I couldn't.
They were
them.
The most comfortable pants.
Dolphin
in
shorts,
20th century.
Dolphin gym shorts. Remember those? The jogging shorts.
No,
I've never heard anyone say kill parachutes before.
Yeah, well, you have to sacrifice
kill two or three parachutes.
You have to sacrifice a lot of nylon to get around my tuchus back in the
All right,
day.
We got a lot of people with
Bring
questions for
go.
Ask David. Scott Stantis, Todd Belcourt joins the studio for Ask David. It's Thrifty Thursday. You can go to 56david.com to contact David. You can also call 855-56-DAVID. But on the line with us right now is Gary, who has a question. Hey, Gary, what do you want to ask?
Well, hi, Patty.
Been a while. Yeah, it's been a while, my friend. How have you been?
Not really good. Let's keep that out of the conversation right now.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, it's okay. It ain't your fault. It's 60 years of smoking is what it is. I wanted to ask David now, and bear with me now. I got to do this slowly. These timelines are approximate. Approximately 4 years ago, I took I got to turn the speakerphone off. Please, wait.
Okay, David.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah,
we got you, Gary.
That's much better. Okay. Go ahead.
About 4 years ago, I took a home equity loan out for $20,000.
Okay.
Because I needed to make a purchase that I wanted to pay cash for. I didn't want to make a loan on it. And it was at 4% fixed rate. Approximately a year later, there was another purchase I wanted to make. And the hope was I was going to make the purchase and then turn around and sell my original purchase. But I had to do the first purchase first. So I took out a home equity line of credit.
Okay.
So that was all of a sudden, now I'm at a variable rate. Started at 4%, just as my original one did. And then I made the purchase, but then the other purchase that I wanted to get rid of fell through. So now I got the double purchase, and I got this home equity line of credit that since then has gone up to 5.5%.
Right, because it's tied into the prime interest rate, and prime has gone up. So you owe $40,000 against your house, Gary, or more?
A couple thousand more. You know, it's about 42, I think.
Okay.
And now I'm wondering, I want to get back to a fixed rate loan. I don't know what the rates are now to go back to a fixed rate, but it would be like double of what my original rate was. But can I get that? Because otherwise, I don't want to be up to like 7.5%, 8.5% in a few years.
What can you afford to pay down on your loan, Gary?
I mean, cash right now that I have.
On a monthly basis, what can you pay down?
Well, I've been paying down about $450, $500. I can go $500 a month.
Okay.
Right now.
How much is your home worth, Gary?
I'm hoping about 3.25, or maybe, you know, 5 or 10 there.
Is it a house or a condo or a townhouse?
It's a house.
And how old are you?
72.
God bless you. Is it only you in the house, or is there a co-borrower?
No, I have my wife with me.
And how old is she?
It can get a little, you know, off the air, I would tell you a little bit more, but no, my wife and me, we are the only two, residents, and neither one of us work.
What's your wife's name?
What, really?
Okay.
My wife's name is Louise.
Okay, so it's you and Louise, and you're both in your 70s, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you have a $325,000 single family house, and you owe $40,000.
Well, that's the equity loan. I mean, I still have a mortgage.
How much do you owe on the mortgage?
Just under 170, maybe somewhere around 167.
Okay, and what type of income do you have coming in?
Just my pension.
How much is that? What's the total income you have coming in on a monthly basis?
Okay, let's figure that. Clear or gross? Because I don't know the gross.
How much do you have coming in on a monthly basis?
$5,500.
And are you escrowing your taxes on the 170 or no?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what the rate is on the 170?
Well, what I'm paying now, it changes every year. I think I'm paying about almost $1,500.
$1,500. And how much of the $1,500 is taxes and insurance?
Almost half.
Almost half? Okay. Are you a veteran at all?
Yes.
Are you service-connected disabled at all? Do you have
service-connected disabled? No. I'm a veteran, and I'm also a retired 30-year CPD.
Right.
And I've got third stage lung cancer right now, and my wife's disabled.
I got you. But and that's horrible, and we're going to try to help you here. So your best bet, right, $200,000, follow me here. Okay, you need about $200,000, $210,000 to pay off everything, right? Your first and second together is about $210,000, right?
40 and, yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So how would you like to turn that payment into an $850 to $900 payment without taxes and insurance, so you don't got to worry about the up and down elevator ride that you're doing on the 40 that you took out to make whatever purchase you had to make that didn't work out as best as you thought it was. If I could turn that payment into an $850 to $900 payment, would that benefit you and your wife, Louise?
Well, that would give me about the same payment that I'm paying now on my original mortgage. Is that correct?
Right. But you would eliminate the variability and the uncertainty with the 40 that seems to have you stressed out.
Okay. And then...
Would that increase my length of terms?
Yeah.
Because right now, Gary, with the condition of your health, right, and your age, in my professional opinion, the number one through 400 things you should be concerned about is a monthly payment, right? You got enough, right? You should be concentrating on your health, not on this up and down elevator ride on the second. So if we could convert the second and take that stressor off you and put you into an $850 to $900 payment and take care of Louise, if God forbid something happened to you, would that put you in a better state of mind?
Oh, sure. Okay. But is there also a possibility of reversing that, those reverse mortgage things?
Sure, but...
I don't know anything about that.
Well,
but
I'm going to tell you.
Help also.
I'm going to tell you right now that 210 against the 325, you're at about that 60%, okay? On a 70-year-old, I love reverse mortgages. I think they're fantastic. When my mother was alive, I tried to get my mother and my father into one. Right, doctor takes his own medicine. I think they're fantastic. The challenge that you have is that it's based upon 100-year life expectancy, and the value of your home based upon the amount of money that you owe. You don't have enough equity in your home. I don't believe so, just on paper here, to qualify for a reverse mortgage. I think they're fantastic, and if you do qualify for it, then that is the definite direction that I would recommend to you. And we do those, and it's the most satisfying next to a VA loan. The reverse mortgage is the most satisfying loan that we do because we're typically helping experienced homeowners out of a precarious situation and eliminating a payment, which would help you save $800 to $900, and that payment gets deferred on your mortgage. So what I would love to have the opportunity in the morning, because you should be in bed right now resting up and getting healthy, is to talk to you and Louise about seeing if you qualify for a reverse mortgage. And if not, then plan B would be to consolidate your first and second loan, take the stressor off your life so you could concentrate on taking care of your health. Does that sound like a plan?
Tomorrow morning I'm going to be Dr. Singh all day. I don't know what's going to happen.
That's
but,
fine.
Is a VA loan? Would that help me out anywhere?
Yeah, it could. If you were service connected disabled, you wouldn't have to pay the upfront funding fee. Then it would definitely be a benefit. But there are other products out there that you could get into and not have to pay the funding fee, like a regular Fannie Mae Freddie Mac loan. Okay, because right now, Gary, the most important thing, again, in my professional opinion, is the payment. Okay, you have two challenges from what you're telling me here. Number one is the payment. Number two is the stressor of the second, which is what you opened the conversation with, which means it was a topic. It was a top of mind, right? That's the number one thing. Okay, so
money's coming in. I don't owe any money. My credit rating is like over 800.
Okay,
and But the whole thing is, I'm afraid this thing's going to keep on going. I don't know how we're going to handle it.
Gary, I understand you're under a lot of pressure, right? And that's why I identified the pressure right out of the box. And I'm going to try to eliminate that pressure by rolling it into the first and second loan into one loan so you don't have to worry about it anymore. Okay, you have stage 3 cancer, you're on oxygen, and we're going to take care of you. Okay, we're going to take care of one thing that I can take care of, which is your financial challenge that you have, which is eliminating the second loan, combining the first and the second, reducing the payment, taking the stress off of you and Louise, okay?
You're my man.
All right.
Is it okay? What's the latest I can call you?
You could call me. It's already midnight. I'll be back here with Cochran at 7 in the morning.
So oh,
you
boy.
Can call,
what?
You could call, yeah, I'm gonna roll up under a sales desk and take a nap.
I got a couch in my office.
I'm going to be tied up with doctors.
Okay.
Gary, call me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 855-56-DAVID. Okay? Any time of the day, night, weekends, it doesn't matter. 855-56-DAVID, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
All right, Gary, get some rest, Gary. All right, take care. We've got a bunch of texts I have to get to when we come back from this break.
And blow through the commercials. We've got people to help. I'm sure I'm sure the sales department will understand.
We'll be fast. We'll be fast. It'll be painless. Well, after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. I have got to make sure we get to these questions for Ask David. David Hochberg joins us in studio answering all your questions. You can go to
56David.com is a website.
Yes.
855-56-DAVID is the phone number. And we have a special confidential, private confidential email set up here at WGN that our listeners could go and send an email. And we will take those emails in addition to the calls, in addition to the texts, and read them on air so other listeners can learn and get the help and advice and education that they need from other listeners' questions. So please go to askdavid@wgnradio.com to submit your email questions.
And at the from the 847 on our text screen, can I be considered a first-time home buyer after a certain amount of years of not owning a home? And I'd like to add to the question, I have a fair amount of debt. I pay the monthly fine, but is there a way to roll my debt into a loan if I can obtain one?
Okay. So the two-part question. The first part is you are considered, everybody's considered a first-time home buyer if you have not owned a home in the past 36 months. So for some reason, somebody has come up with that definition, and that's the definition. So if you once owned a home but have not owned a home in the past 36 months, you are now considered officially a first-time home buyer again. Why? Okay. I have no idea, but that's just the rule. Can you roll... that's a challenging question because if you miss payments already, it sounds like whoever sent that in said that I'm late on the payments, which means your credit is severely damaged. So that's a multiple layer there. Here, to answer that question, this, if you have money in the bank, it is better, and I will stand by this, and you could challenge me all you want and you'll be wrong, but here's the deal. It is much better to buy a home with less down and no credit card debt with a higher credit score than with credit card debt and a larger down payment. Because everybody's like, well, I hate PMI. I'm going to save all this money. And then they jack up their credit cards. And by jacking up your credit cards, your credit scores come down.
Right.
And when your credit scores come down, your interest rate goes up because it's based upon a risk-based program, right? So the higher the credit score, the lower the rate. The lower the credit score, the higher the interest rates will cost you more money. So it is always better, listeners out there, to take the money that you have in your bank account and put less down on a home, go with PMI, pay off all of your debt, your credit scores will come up, you will qualify for a lower rate, and your monthly payment will always be lower without buying a home with credit card debt. Because for every $10,000 that and your typical listener is carrying about $30,000 worth of credit card debt. Okay, it used to be 10 to 15, right? Now that's not, I mean, that's like double A ball. I talked to a guy today. Okay, retired. $70,000 worth of credit card debt.
Wow.
Okay, now that's what we're seeing. He's in his 70s. He was injured on the job. Him and his wife have got Social Security coming in. They live in a $300,000 home. They have $130,000 mortgage and 70 G's worth of credit card debt. We're going to save them $2,000 a month. So I'm telling folks, listeners, please, it is always better to use the money you have for the large down payment to take that money out of the down payment, pay off your credit card debt, let your credit scores increase, you will qualify for a lower rate and qualify to buy a bigger home.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent. Hope that helps. 847. 815 says, I've lived in my home for 18 years without missing a payment. I pay 7%.
Ooh.
And I'm a 1099. Have regulations been eased at all for 1099?
Yes. They are programs out there for self-employed individuals who have very creative accountants, or they're very creative themselves when they do their tax returns, which is all legal, to use bank statement loans in order to get, we could use personal deposits if you're self-employed, in order to get borrowers' loans based upon bank statements. So, yes.
7% is a little high.
We have different definitions of little. That's a lot.
Significant.
Yeah, that's so this, please give us a call. to see if we could help you. The consultation's free, 855-56-DAVID, and we'll take a look at your tax return to see if we could get some more money out of that that you might not think that we could get, or we'll take a look at the bank statement loans and recalibrate that loan. You've been in a 15 years at 7%. Even if we could take that number, and I will bet you a steak dinner at Ishnala, you know.
Ooh, Brandy Old Fashions.
Brandy Old Fashions overlooking Mead Lake or whatever
that's
it is.
Right.
You know, that we could take that 15-year fixed loan, extend it out 30 years, maybe pay off some debt, and save that texter a ton of money.
Excellent. From the 708, my sister and brother-in-law have a ranch house in Will County.
Yep.
In Shanahan, Illinois. The ranch house is a three-bedroom with an unfinished basement. Their taxes are almost $10,000.
Crazy.
My sister and brother-in-law were surprised. Do you think that they're being charged way too high for their property taxes? That's Dave.
The general answer to that question is, do I think everybody in Illinois is being charged way too much? The answer is yes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Shanahan, listen, what you need to do is get a hold of, you need to get a hold of the assessor and either go to one of those classes that nobody knows what the hell they're talking about, or hire a good real estate tax appeal guy or gal that will appeal your taxes and take a portion of what they save you. Okay, so $10,000 for a three-bedroom ranch in Shanahan is a little mashuggy. Okay, it's not a little. That's a lot mashuggy. That's crazy. Okay, and again, I'm not going to get into the tax thing here, but you should have on Jack Franks. Okay, the president of the McHenry County Board, right? And then bring in Tony Preckwinkle and let him sit side by side and let Jack school Tony on what he did in McHenry County to cut taxes by 10% a year.
Okay? Was he consolidated municipality?
Yes.
Yes.
He eliminated county board seats.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Forest Preserve District of whatever came in with the budget 10% higher, he said, thank you for presenting the budget. Now go back and figure out a way to come back and take 10% off instead of asking for a 10% raise. That's what we need to do. We need to get our financial house fiscal because we're driving people up. People, $10,000 on a three-bedroom ranch.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm sorry. I did a little. I went off the rails there. It's negative. You know what, though? I do it every day, and I see it.
Right.
And I see what it's doing to property values. Okay, I saw a $800,000-$900,000 home in Lincolnshire. Okay, dropped to $600,000 in value because the real estate taxes went from $11,000-$12,000 to $18,000. Okay, so for every $525,
yeah, that's a huge difference.
$100,000 worth of mortgages costs about $525. So every time you raise real estate taxes $6,000, okay. A year, you just eliminated $100,000 worth of property value off of people's homes. Okay, I do this for a living. I see it every day. The elected officials are like, oh, yeah, let's just jack it up a little more. Let's jack this up a little more. I can understand the gas tax thing, right, because our roads are falling apart. You want to take 18 cents? I'm not too happy about it. But you know what? I'm tired of blowing rims on our crappy streets. Okay, I understand that. I'm willing to pay that. But real estate taxes,
yeah.
We're driving people out of the state. It's crazy.
From the 347, David, would you hire an attorney to try to get the property tax lowered? Is it
yes.
worth it?
Yes, it's definitely worth it because what I just explained is that the property tax attorney takes a portion of the money that they save you. And right. again, I do this for a living. I don't have time to start looking at appraisals and doing all that stuff. If they can save you money, they take a piece and you get a bigger piece of what they save. So definitely hire a real estate tax attorney.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that our very first segment of Ask David has gone wildly successful.
Yeah, thanks.
That was outstanding.
David!
Right. You need to get some rest, my friend, because you're coming back. What time are you doing Cochran's show?
I'm scheduled to be on Cochran 7:30. So I'm going to be back here at 7.
All right, go get some rest.
Yes, thanks for having
me. And we'll have you back in 2 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, on the 20th.
On the 20th.
Please go to askdavid@wgnradio.com. That's the easiest way for WGN listeners to go and submit their questions. And again, it'll be non-threatening. It's confidential. It's private. And we will help other listeners learn from the questions that you submit. So please help us build this into something that we would like to build it into, which is huge.
And we will also have this available as a podcast so that you can have
that'd be great.
And to share with listeners
well, thank
who want
you.
To learn from the conversation that we had tonight. Thank you, David. Be safe on the way home.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, of course. It's Ask David. You can also go to 56david.com or call 855-56david.com. But of course, go to askdavid@wgnradio.com to submit your questions for the next segment of Ask David.